Welcome to Back to the Sources, a podcast for those looking for a window into the life of Concordia Seminary and our library, whether you are a theologian, pastor, or prospective student. Each episode explores deep theological questions, profound insights, and topics of interest, brought to you by both professors and students alike. We hope that these conversations enrich your faith, academic, and professional development by connecting you to our rich resources. Back to the Sources is brought to you by the Hasse Library on the campus of Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. The Hasse Library, inspiring theological discovery.
Hello, and welcome to Back to the Sources, a podcast of Hasse Memorial Library. My name is Kendall Davis. I am an STM student in exegetical theology. And today we are interviewing our authors for Grapho, the student journal of Concordia Seminary. I'm also the chairman of the Student Publications Committee, and we've been interviewing all of our authors of various essays in the 2022 issue. And today I have with me Hayden Lucas. Hayden, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself?
Yeah, I'm Hayden Lucas. I'm a PhD student here at Concordia Seminary doing doctrinal theology and my interests, if this is like a classified ad or whatever that is, my interests include Neoplatonism, Platonism, and how that affects our theology and how we can bring some of the insights from the Platonic worldview into Christian theology today.
Very fun. Now, you wrote an essay entitled Light, Recovering an Ancient Perspective. So before we get started, why don't you go ahead and kind of tell us what that essay is about and kind of what you're trying to do there?
Yeah, so the point of it is that we kind of have this physicalist assumption, materialist, if you want to call it that, but that's a confused word. Yeah, physicalist view of what reality is. So there's some sense that we have like our normal everyday experience, and then there's this other world that is objective and scientific, and that body of knowledge, that other world of knowledge is the real stuff. And it's not the way that I think the Bible speaks about the world. I think it shares significant features with a Platonic picture of the world. So I do this thing, I forget the exact verse, but it's where Jesus says, the eye is the lamp of the body.
Right.
And that's just like silly. So there's this ancient perspective that, and it's true in Plato, you see it in his Timaeus as well, just like you see it in Jesus explaining. It's basically this, that we have like light, like everybody knows, where you have, you know, like light from the sun, particles or radiation or whatever you want to call it, coming down from the sun that, you know, hits stuff. And that's how we see.
Little like, almost like ping pong balls.
Yeah.
Tiny, tiny, tiny.
Yes, right.
But they're also waves or whatever.
Yeah, there's, I'm not a scientist.
No.
Yeah. But respect for him, you know. Yeah, there's that aspect of it. But what the ancient perspective, what I would argue is a pretty prevalent ancient perspective, at least in like the academy, would be that there's also the eye itself is a lamp. So the eye produces light. So in Timaeus, you get this account from Plato where he's discussing fire and the different parts of the body and how they embody the stoicheia, the four elements, and fire, earth, water, air, and that we have this interior store of fire, like in our chest or our belly or whatever, and we shoot it out of our eyes like a laser beam, and it hits stuff, and that's how we see. And it's this weird thing, and he doesn't give a physical account of it, but he does use like particles and physical particles, but after he describes that initial laser beam shot out of your eye, basically, he says that that beam of light just somehow kind of magically, or however you'd want to describe it, just diffuses information to your body. And
kind of like when I reach out my arm, I touch something and then I get information about whether it's cold or hard or soft.
Yeah, yeah.
But
exactly.
I have like light arms shooting out of my eyeballs. Is that kind of like the idea?
Yeah, yeah. Pretty accurate. Yeah, that's a good way to put it. And yeah, Jesus has the same idea. He says the eye is the lamp of the body. And that same concept Plato talks about, the information being diffused through that stream of light into the soul itself. Mm-hmm. So that the perceptive element and the rational element of humanity. And Christ has a very similar account. It's not word for word, obviously. No one lifts it from Timaeus.
Right.
But he does have that same idea that it diffuses to your soul. And he says specifically, and it's really, it's beautiful what Jesus does with this. And it's like amazing, cooler than Plato, obviously. But he says that if your eye is light, then your whole body will be light because, you know, that light will diffuse itself to your soul. But if your eye is darkness, then that's going to make your whole body, your whole soul dark. And it's like this weird thing where it's like in Titus where he said, where Paul says that to the pure, all things are pure.
Yeah.
And it's just like almost a physicalist, but a wrong physicalist account that Jesus is giving right here. That it's your eye, literally, that makes you pure. So, yeah, that's kind of the basic idea of the paper.
And you're advocating that when we read the scriptures, then, if we have in mind kind of a modern physicalist understanding of light, we're going to misunderstand sometimes what they're talking about, right?
Right, yeah. So, yeah, that's a good way to put it. Because if you think that light just means like what we currently describe as electromagnetic radiation, you know, that exists, it's the only visible part of a whole array, a spectrum of radiation.
You know? Right.
You're going to miss a lot about what is happening with Jesus and the claims the Bible is making about him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So when it says, you know, talks about Jesus as light, it's not saying, you know, Jesus is like the visible part of the electromagnetic spectrum.
Yeah, yeah, right. That's something very far removed. And it's interesting because that's the way you phrase it like that. It's removed from your experience. I think what Plato's trying to do is just do something like just make a normal account of light. And he obviously gets the physical mechanism wrong, but all he's trying to do is say something like, your perception of the world is something real, and it has the ability to really see things as they are. So your eye, in a sense, is like a light. It's something that reveals or illuminates the world.
Yeah.
And I don't ever, you know, in my normal life, I have some like interesting factoids that I'm like, the speed of light and things like that. But
yeah.
I don't ever experience light as electromagnetic radiation. I receive it as something I see and like enjoy, and it reveals the world outside to me.
Right.
Yeah.
So just to clarify about the kind of this ancient understanding of light, if light is this thing that comes out of my eyeball, then why can't I like see in the dark?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So
if I turn the lights off, like, if the light's coming out of my eyeball,
yeah,
like shouldn't it should be hitting stuff,
right? Well, and Plato, it's actually, that's great, because the way that Plato talks about it is he has a very, I think it's a little tongue-in-cheek how he does it,
but
he's like, the reason we get tired is because that light inside us is striving so hard to illuminate everything, but it meets with unlike particles. It meets not with fire, but darkness. In the account that he gives, I suppose more of what he says is, because the operating principle for sight and for perception is that like meets like. So the fire that comes from me meets the fire from the sun or a lamp.
Oh, I see. Oh, so that's still light. It's just that there's also a light that comes out of my eyeballs.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
I got it. Fun. So I could see someone kind of hearing all this and say like, okay, that's great for understanding how ancient people thought about stuff.
Yeah.
But like, why... why do I care that Plato was wrong? Like, light is actually electromagnetic radiation.
Yeah.
I don't shoot laser beams out of my eyes, as fun as that would be.
Yeah.
So why do I care that Plato was wrong?
Well, that's a great question. So the point of it, from what I understand, is that, and I think there are reasons for this in the account, and it's also, I mean, and I won't say it's an impious question, but I do think you have the weight of Jesus also understanding it this way behind you and it being recorded in the scriptures. But at least the way that Plato handles it, what I understand him to be doing is doing kind of the same thing that Jesus is doing in saying that really there's this perceptive element of you, and it's not like you just magically just receive all the information. You're involved in the production of information in your mind.
Casting my vision on different things.
Yeah. So it's kind of almost this weird way of doing, like we talk about wearing different glasses, different pairs of glasses.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'll put on my philosopher pair of glasses. I'll put on my scientist pair of glasses to speak about certain things. or we talk about rose-colored glasses to make the world look nice, you know? I think it's something like that, trying to say that you're involved, except it's not something external to you. It's actually part of who you are, and you're not going to change it just magically how you perceive the world. So to answer the question simply, I don't think you have to believe, actually, that Jesus is even doing this, saying that you literally shoot, because he's wrong, right?
If that's what he's saying.
Yeah, yeah. If you're literally shooting a laser beam out of your eyes, but which sounds ridiculous, right? But if you're actually just saying, yeah, I'm involved in creating my perception about the world, and it's important that I have the right tool to do that. So it's weird because it fits into a broader account of what you think knowledge is. We think about knowledge production as strictly like an epistemological task.
Yeah.
From the, you know, just from our philosophical history and our history as Westerners, you know.
Yeah.
But it actually shows how deep the metaphysical project is in the ancient world, mm-hmm. that they don't think you can even see anything without an account of how information is distributed. And it's related to you saying what you just said about it's not just light from my eyes, but it's the fact that my perception, if that's how you read light, my yep. perception meets the perception of the sun. Okay. Yeah. And the sun here represents not just a star, but really in a sense God, for Plato often.
That which reveals.
Yeah, that which reveals all things.
Mm-hmm.
And so there is that objective sense where God is always kind of providing light on the whole universe. The sun is always providing light to the stuff around me. But it's still important that I have the right tool to understand those things correctly. And so I have to have my own purity, my spiritual piety, in mm-hmm. a sense, to actually accurately represent the world to myself.
So I'm not just merely a passive observer of stuff that's out there.
Yeah, it sounds almost kind of postmodern.
Yeah, yeah. I think.
Yeah.
So it sounds like the distinction here is not so much about getting the physics of light right, but it's a question of what do we mean by light. And kind of, and you talk about this in the essay, like,
yeah.
where do we put the light article in our encyclopedia? Is yeah. it under physics or is it under something else?
Yeah, yeah.
And it sounds like kind of the physicist and Plato are kind of talking about two different things, kind of fundamentally. They're asking different questions.
Yeah.
They just happen to both call them light. Do you think that's kind of a fair characterization?
Yeah, yes, I do. I think they would bristle at each other, the way light fits into each other's system. And
right.
I think we're kind of pushed. I honestly think that we're kind of pushed to edge towards the Platonist or Christian in the sense of this is what Christ actually says. So as followers of Christ, I think we are kind of edged away from a more materialist, physicalist account of it. But, you know, I think all the crazy, like the two-slit experiment, all this crazy stuff you can do with alpha particles and light, I think it's all awesome, but I think we just
have to. It's not what we're talking about.
Yeah, yeah, not exactly what we're doing.
So, gotcha.
Yeah.
So let's have the rubber meet the road.
Yeah.
Jesus says, I am the light. What does that mean?
Yeah, that's great. So I'm the light of the world. I don't want to just sound like like an evil Platonist person, like, I'm swallowing. Yeah, yeah. Like I'm going whole hog. But really, I think it is pretty analogous to, everyone knows Plato's cave,
mm-hmm.
if you're familiar with it. So you're living in the cave in the darkness and you just have the fire that
casting
is casting shadows.
Yeah.
And eventually people get out of the cave and get outside and see the world as it actually is. Take some time to get used to it.
Can really empathize with it after the pandemic.
Yeah. Honestly. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah, Netflix, trapped inside watching Netflix and then walking outside. So in that Plato's cave analogy or whatever you want to call it, what actually provides the intelligibility, your ability to actually understand what the world, how the world actually is outside of the cave, what provides that to you? It's the light. It's the sun that casts the correct light. It casts, it reveals what the true nature of things are.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a lot of who Christ is. He reveals the true nature of what the world is. And as Lutherans, I think our distinctive spin on that is that we relate to that light, not just by studying it and understanding it, by actually stepping out and trusting it in some way, that account is accurate. and that the light gives. So even if our faculty of vision isn't always pure. So,
gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I think that, I'm trying to think like how I tend to understand, you know, Jesus is the light, what that means. And a lot of it, you know, I'm thinking of the Vespers, you know, Jesus is the light of the world, the light no darkness can overcome.
Yeah.
And so I think we think about like light in terms of like opposition between light and darkness, mm-hmm. which is usually then moral categories, or even potentially we might talk about Jesus as the light of one's life, which is usually kind of an emotional category, like yeah. Jesus makes me happy, mm-hmm. the sun makes me happy, Jesus makes me happy. And that may very well be part of all this, but it sounds like what you're advocating then is that there is a part of this that has to do with knowledge and perception.
Yeah.
That is part of the Jesus is light, you know, metaphor
yeah,
that,
exactly.
that we might tend to miss because we don't think about light in terms of knowledge, epistemology, that sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
That's right.
That's interesting. Yeah, I think that is pretty central for me.
Yeah. So,
yeah, that's great.
Fun. Well, let's do an Old Testament one. So, you know, Psalm 119 talks about the word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path.
Yeah.
Is the Old Testament Platonic as well?
Well, that would be an anachronism, but I love it still, so I would say yeah. But, you know, I think I'll do something just a little in two parts. So yeah. The first part is also understanding that there's no evidence that Christ would subscribe to a view like this or that the textual stuff we have recorded
mm-hmm.
and it gives this indication. But at least for Plato, light is in the category of fire. And the way at least that the Bible talks about God is a purifying fire, right?
Mm,
He's the one
sure.
that purifies us. So through his word, God is able to, again, I'll just go back to that Titus verse. I think it's 1:15 in Titus, that to the pure, all things are pure. So God's word being a lamp to your feet and a light to your path, it is something that's external to you, but it's also something that can purify you and make your journey through life, you know, whatever you want to say.
Right. Yeah. I think of light primarily in terms of like light bulbs.
Yeah. Right.
You know, like,
right. Turn on the lights.
To me, fire and light don't really like go together as like kind of adjacent yeah. categories. That's a really good point. Yeah. Fun. So someone says, you know, this is nice and all, you know, I buy it.
Yeah.
But like, I'm never going to like get Grandma Schmidt to see light in Platonic terms.
Yeah.
she doesn't care.
She's
you know,
a great like, woman. She's
you know,
a great
she,
woman.
She's great. So yeah. like, I'm never going to like start a sermon with like, all right, you guys really need to understand Timaeus before we you know, like understand
yeah.
John's gospel. So, you know, someone no. said this is great, but like, this doesn't really make a difference. This is a fascinating curiosity. What do you say to that?
Well,
it's wildly impractical.
Yeah. No, well, first of all, I do think there is an element where it does, if you actually do just, no one else has time for this, but if you want to just crack open Timaeus or get on Hoopla or Audible, listen to
yeah.
Timaeus, people actually are really interested in just the element when you said like an interesting curiosity. It can be kind of like a hook in a sense of like, did you guys know this weird thing people believed back in the day?
Right, yeah, sure.
You know? So it is something I think we do want preachers and teachers to delight their listeners. And so I think having some knowledge of our tradition, you know, of the texts that we've received from the ancients sometimes is interesting. And I love doing that. And I found good responses doing like, I did a sermon on Caduceus and the, I forget what the Old Testament calls it, but the snake around the pole.
Oh, yeah, and, yeah, from Numbers, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, the Nefustan or whatever it is, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
But I've pulled that out a few times and people have really responded well to it. So doing something ancient at least is like a fascinator. But beyond that, having this understanding of light in a more serious way is that it gets people to see Jesus in a different light, see him in a different way. Another facet of that diamond thing. Because if it almost doesn't make sense, like if you just take like Jesus as this, like a metaphor about electromagnetic radiation.
It's kind of weird.
You know? Yeah. It's like, well, you know, when I receive the sacrament, I don't feel like the sun beating down on my arm,
right?
You know, on a day, you know, a hot day. That's not the feeling I get. And that you said stuff about emotions. There are all these weird things that you can do with like light and revelation, or I don't know, that just get into weird places that I don't think the Bible wants you to get into. So understanding it is something about knowledge and mm-hmm. our own purity. I think those two key elements that we can't perceive the world without, we can't perceive, rather, the world correctly without God shining his light on it through the cross, you know, through the empty tomb, but also our own purity. I think those are two key aspects of what pastors, what preachers and teachers are charged with doing. Yeah, mm-hmm. getting people's perception about the world accurate through teaching God's understanding of the world correctly, and also, you know, their own moral purity. So those are two key elements.
So to put it in a really cheesy way, you not only have to see by the light of the S-U-N, but you have to also see by the light of the S-O-N.
I'm T-posing in the studio right now. Yeah, that's epic.
Yeah, but no, I think it's a helpful to say that, like, you can't actually, like, talk about this stuff with people in a way that is approachable and is actually, believe it or not, engaging. It can be done, but also just as a jumping off point for kind of expanding, like, how we use these images and these metaphors.
Yes, in scripture. Exactly.
I think that's really helpful.
Right.
So, resources that you might point people to. Do you have any recommendations?
They want to
kind of dig into this.
My paper probably explained it a little better, especially if you don't want to cut through all the material we went over, especially the last, you know, maybe three pages that'll show up in the journal. You'll find maybe some helpful tips and tricks about how to handle presenting this material.
Right.
But also Timaeus by Plato. Yeah, so the two works by Plato that I use are Timaeus and Republic, and I just kind of try to reconstruct his account of light through looking at those two. Mm-hmm. Timaeus is, like, I think it's just joyful, like a wonderful thing to read for a Christian, just because the church fathers meditate on it so much. City of God book.
By Augustine, yeah.
By Augustine. City of God, chapter 11, or book 11, has a lot on this stuff. Plato and his relationship to Timaeus and his relationship to the Bible. Yeah. But beyond that, I'll just be honest, it was a little more free form. You'll notice it was light on citations, because it's really just, this is that thought I've been going through for a long time. So
yeah. Fun. Yeah. Well, hey, thanks for chatting with us, Hayden. I hope people take a look at your essay.
Yeah. Thanks so much for having me.
If you enjoyed Back to the Sources, be sure to follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Facebook so that you don't miss a single episode. This podcast is brought to you by the Hasse Library on the campus of Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. The Hasse Library, inspiring theological discovery.